This is from Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. It says, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force." Betty, would you pray for me today? Amen. Amen. Well, I'm glad that you're here. And Jesus is glad that you're here. I've had this word in me for some weeks now, and I've just been waiting for the right time to give it. It was actually a prophetic word. I shared it at our noon service, our Eucharist, and it'll be posted on Asna Roars within the next little while. If you haven't checked the Aslan, somebody asked me, what word are you saying? Aslan. For those of you who are new to that, A-S-L-A-N, roars.com. And so there's probably 10 or more, 11 word on there, and more to come. So if I get it updated this week, there'll be about 25 or more. I just encourage you to go there. I think they're pastoral words besides just prophetic words. And some of the words that I get. I know that I'm supposed to also speak them as prophetic sermons, so they're a longer version. But this is one of those words, and I want to talk to you some today about holy violence. On May 27th, was it April 27th we had the storm? April 27th, is that right? April 27th, we had one of the most violent outbreaks of tornadoes and storms, as you remember, in our state's history. Just a couple weeks before that, we'd had actually a violent outbreak of tornadoes and storms, and we had 6 or 7 people who died. But this one that happened April 27th happened, it was over 300 people now that have died as a result of it. Those of you who've had a chance to go to Tuscaloosa, it's just remarkable what happened there. And I remember the day before when the storms broke out, the day before, because I think it was a Wednesday when they broke out, when everything happened. The day before, Lydia called me, actually, and told me that, she said, I was just watching the weather report, and they said that today, which is Tuesday, the 26th, that we're going to have sustained winds of 25 to 35 miles an hour, and it warned people to prepare, to batten down things. And I thought, that's the strangest thing, because I said, well, when are the storms coming? She said, tomorrow. And I don't ever remember there being sustained winds like that the day before. 24-hour period before, which is a weird thing. I know that you have winds that will start to pick up before a front comes through, but I've never seen it when it was 24 hours before. So I had a real sense in my heart, in my spirit, that this was really going to be an unusual situation, because that was unusual. The winds were already blowing at a level that they said sustained 35-mile-an-hour winds. You need to put things up or fasten things down. It was sort of a warning. I thought, that's even before the system comes through. And then, of course, the next day, those sustained winds gave birth to a historical outbreak of violent storms that we are still talking about. And of course, those things have continued to happen across the country. But for our state, that was a remarkable time. I remember Woody and Kristen coming, and they left Tuscaloosa about 2. They concluded that maybe get out of Tuscaloosa, because they were just predicting some things for their. And so they got it. We watched the storm. We watched the tornado go through Tuscaloosa on TV. It was really amazing. Those of you got to see that. It was really something. But it struck me that the connection that we've had outbreaks of tornadoes before, but in my lifetime, never like this. We've even had Category 5 tornadoes, F5 tornadoes before, but that would be an isolated one like that. But it was all over the state. 4s and 5s all over the state, from north to south. Phil's telling me that was, I didn't know that. They even had one in Mobile that weekend. So all the way, the whole state. There are some real prophetic things about that, and prophecies have been given about the state of Alabama and the power of God and the outbreak of the power of God. But I want to apply it more to us personally in our own spiritual level, in our own spiritual life. And what was obvious is that when you have a situation where you have sustained winds that are going on before the front ever comes through, that those sustained winds are more likely to give birth to the most violent outbreak of storms. But the other thing is, Robert and I, for a number of years, we're the Weather Channel's best customers. And meteorology is fascinating to me. And what was unnoticed behind the scenes to most people is that the whole situation was created by an environment behind the scenes, an environment where you had Gulf cold front coming in, Gulf moisture, real warm temperatures, and the position of the jet stream. And all those things that were behind the scenes that people couldn't see created an environment for those sustained winds. And those sustained winds were necessary to have such a historical outbreak of violent storms. Now, here's the issue for us. In the spirit, it's the same way. Is that it's a person who lives with a sustained wind in their life that have the tendency to have outbreaks, historical outbreaks of violent storms, the power of God that follow them. Do you hear what I just said to you? It's people who have a sustained wind on them, who aren't forever just starting and stopping and starting and stopping and starting and stopping. Thank God that when we do stop, there's grace to start again. But it's those who've created a rhythm in their spiritual life, behind-the-scenes rhythm, at such a level. See, the behind-the-scenes atmospherical and meteorological rhythm behind the scenes on the 27th was very combustive and very violent. But you couldn't see any of that. You couldn't see where the jet stream was. You couldn't, about the Gulf, the moisture, and the, we could feel the temperatures, but all those things were going on, and we weren't paying attention to them. But they created an environment, a violent environment behind the scenes that caused sustained winds, and those sustained winds gave birth to violent outbreaks of record storms. I'm just here to tell you, God wants you and I to manifest violent outbreaks of the power and the glory of God in our life. For that to happen, we have to live in an environment of sustained winds. In other words, there has to be an elevation of the wind of the Spirit of God blowing in our life. There has to be a place in the Spirit where we're moving beyond just gentle breezes. And there's this sustained winds that makes us dangerous in the Spirit. An environment where violent outbreaks of the power of God can be birthed out of the sustained winds of our own spiritual lives. Okay? Don't worry about that. It'll just disappear in a moment or two. I'll outlast it. The sustained winds that give birth to the violent outbreaks of the power of God look like people getting saved at a higher level than you've ever seen. People are coming under conviction. It looks like people getting healed. People being delivered. All those manifestations of the power of God and the kingdom of God happening more often and at a higher level than we've ever experienced before. Can you still hear me good? Everybody? Okay. All right. Thank you. And when the Lord was speaking those things to me, He said something to me that was really interesting, because all the images and pictures that we speak of about Jesus is that He was a man of gentleness, and He was a man of peace. And those things were true. But Jesus was also a violent man. See, it says in this passage in Matthew chapter 11, listen to it, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. Something's happened since the days of John the Baptist, which has just been a few years. He says, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. If you and I are going to take the kingdom of God by force, if we're going to grab hold of a handful of the kingdom of God, and it, like one of those fireworks you throw in the ground, you know, and they explode. If we're going to do that in our personal lives, there's got to be a holy violence about us. There's got to be something that exceeds and transcends our passivity. We have to understand, was Jesus a man of peace? Yes. Was Jesus a man of contemplative man? Yes. It was all those things, but Jesus was also a violent man in the spiritual realm. You know, we talked about this a couple of months ago about our rhythm. Because I'm going to talk about that some again this morning. And I said to you, and it brought some real relief to many of you, that find your own rhythm. That behind the scenes, atmospherical stuff that goes on in your own spiritual life. The stuff that nobody else really gets to see, it's like you and God. Find your rhythm. What does your rhythm look like? Your prayer life, your time with God, your devotional life, your devotion to Him. Find your rhythm. And your rhythm's not going to be like my rhythm or anybody else's rhythm. It's like sowing and reaping. And if you'll just sow seeds, it's like sowing seeds, your rhythm. And it's a rhythm. Just be consistent with whatever rhythm you can live with. And it'll be like sowing seeds. And what will happen to you is you'll begin to harvest. You'll see a harvest of the power and the glory of God. A harvest of the activity of God and the glory of God. You remember that? And we talked about the fact that as you're moving along, often we'll sow seed in the season. Like I mentioned to you last, I mentioned this to you, so I'm telling the story again just to make the point. But for 54 days last year, I took my rhythm to a different level. And I just was sowing seed, asking God to show up and manifest Himself in our Eucharist. So it wasn't just words of explanation, but He would affirm His real presence through signs and wonders. So I wouldn't just have to explain it or convince anybody. They'd go, oh my gosh, there is something different here. And the result of that, a couple months later, they're beginning to see this harvest of the activity of God in our Eucharist. And the Lord began to speak to me, and He said, Chuck, why don't you have, you'll sow seed at this extravagant level, and then you'll see this harvest, and you look back and you celebrate that harvest. He said, I want you to get into a rhythm, and you stay in this rhythm, so that you're sowing seed, sowing seed, sowing seed, so that you have multiple harvests of the activity and glory of God. And then what He's been speaking to me lately is, and if you'll take that rhythm to a more violent level, the harvest of God will overtake you. Instead of the harvest of the activity of God following you, you'll be following and chasing it. And don't you want to have whole new categories of ghost stories that you can't even keep up? You had to write them down because you don't have time because you're still telling the last ghost stories. You can't keep up with them. That the activity of God is happening so fast, the harvest is happening so fast, you're way behind telling the stories because you're still telling the stories. And then what we want, and then what Jesus did, don't you think every night when Jesus sat around the campfire with the followers, He had new stories? And they didn't ever finish the stories from the night before because there were so many stories. So they're still trying to, I don't think they ever got caught up. Remember what John said? These signs and many others. What does that scripture say? Remember that? These are just some of the things I've written down, but there are many more. He ran out of pages to write the stories. You hear what I'm saying? Let me just read you some things about Jesus and about His who He was. Matthew chapter 10 says about Jesus, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." There's a part of Christ that had holy violence to it. In chapter 12, listen to what Christ says, beginning in verse 22. "Then there was brought to Him a demon-possessed man who was blind and dumb, and He healed him. So that the dumb man spoke and saw, and all the multitudes were amazed and began to say, 'This man cannot be the son of David, can he?' But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, 'This man cast out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons.' And knowing their thoughts, He said to them, 'Any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste. Any city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? Consequently, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God has come upon you.'" And listen to these words. These aren't passive words. "Or how can anyone enter the strong man's house and carry off his property? Unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house." So those are strong words. And Jesus manifested that constantly, that there were just these violent outbreaks of the activity of God, the power of God, and the glory of God. This person would get healed. This person would be raised from the dead. This person would get saved. This person would happen. I mean, things were never boring around Christ. There were just these record outbreaks of violent storms, the power of God always happening. But it's because Jesus walked in a sustained wind. This is what it says about the Lord. I've read these verses, you've read these verses, but just hear this in this context. This is from John chapter 1, verse 33. And I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, "He upon whom you see the Spirit of God descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit." The Spirit of God didn't just come on him. There wasn't just this blow of wind, you got filled with the Holy Spirit. It wasn't just this blow of wind, you were baptized with the Holy Spirit. It wasn't just blow of wind, you spoke in tongues. Jesus was baptized with the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God remained on him. There were sustained winds on his life. In Luke chapter 4, it says about him, "And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, was led about by the Spirit in the wilderness." The language here is written is full of the Holy Spirit is Jesus continually full of the Holy Spirit. He didn't just get filled with the Spirit. He stayed full of the Spirit. He had sustained winds about him. And that's why time from time, moment from any different moment, any different time, in any situation, these violent outbreaks of the power of God and the glory of God came around him. You hear what I'm saying? It's as if, I don't know what those things are, but I used to love those fireworks. We'd torment each other. Those little round balls, you'd throw them at each other's feet and explode. You have to light them. You know what I'm talking about? Well, those things that your mother never wanted you to play with, but you did anyway. So make those things like bigger than that. You know, it's like Jesus was walking this wind. There was this wind on him all the time. And he would just every once in a while reach and go, boom. Because he lived in an atmosphere for that to happen. There were behind-the-scenes things going on to allow that to happen in Christ's life. I always love this picture in Luke chapter 5. Listen to what it says in verse 16. "But he himself will often slip away to the wilderness and pray." Chapter 6, verse 12. "And it was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God." Chapter 9, verse 18. "And it came about that while he was praying alone, the disciples were with him." In verse 28, "And some 8 days after these sayings, it came about that he took along Peter and John and James and went up to the mountain to pray." And in verse 1 of chapter 11, "It came about that while he was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray.'" And of course, we know about his 40-day fast, the things he did. Behind the scenes, there were this combustible, violent conditions going on in the spirit realm. Jesus' rhythm had a violent level to it. Because there was the whole gulf, there was a whole jet stream, gulf, moisture, all that was going on in Jesus' life in the spirit realm. And it created an atmosphere where he walked in sustained winds. And you say, "Well, but Bishop, that's Jesus, man. Give us a break." Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says, "Be always being filled with the Holy Spirit." That same violent Jesus lives in us. It's that same Holy Spirit that wants to rest on us. God wants us to walk and live in an atmosphere, an environment of sustained winds. So that at any time necessary, there can be even a record outbreak of the violent storm of the power of God to establish the kingdom and set the prisoners free. So our calling, in light of all this, is what? Is to take our rhythm to a more violent level. You may say to me, "Well, Bishop, I'm too old to do that." See, one of the things I get tickled with, Christians, like as a pastor, having been doing this now for decades, you'll like go, we could use some nursery workers. And the word is often I'll hear, "Well, I did that years ago. I put in my time." Really? Aren't you glad preachers don't act that way? Aren't you glad that when somebody's robbing your house and you call the police department, and the guy who answers goes, look, I put in my time years ago. It's somebody else's turn to do this stuff. I just don't get it. It's not your time. Now, if God doesn't want you to do the nursery, you shouldn't do the nursery. You with me? We want people who are anointed, but we should all be available. And we treat it that way in the spirit realm. I'm just too old, Bishop, really. Anna was 84 years old, fasting day and night in the temple. Because she was purposed. Because she had heard that she could see a manifestation of the purposes of God in her life. She could see the manifestation of the Savior, and she did. Simeon was waiting for God to fulfill His word, looking for the consolation of Israel. And he wasn't going to die until he held and touched the purposes of God in his life. I shared with you before, Daniel was 81 years old when they threw him in the lion's den. He was 84 years old when he fasted for 21 days. So being older isn't an excuse. I've only played golf 3 times in the last since September. If you ever watched me play golf, you would consider that 3 times more than I should have played golf. But I decided I'd just get outside and play some golf the other day. And I went outside to play some golf, and I went out and played at Valley Grand. And they said, do you still have a membership here? And I said, no. And they said, well, we'll give you the senior citizen discount. But I sinned, because I should have said, I'm not a senior citizen. But I thought, okay. And I got the senior citizen discount. Being a senior citizen, you don't get a discount in the kingdom of God. You got to pay the full price. See, now here's the hard part for us, is because now I'm messing you up, because you said, Bishop, when you shared that word about rhythm, it made me feel so good because I quit feeling guilty. Because I thought my rhythm was supposed to look like Heidi Baker's or somebody else's, mine isn't, and now I felt comfortable. And that's the word of the Lord for you. It's still God's word. Find your rhythm. But rhythm is about doing something consistently. Get in rhythm, stay in rhythm. But I would just say this to you, that we're in a time where God would ask all of us to take our rhythm to a more violent level. Now, so as not to put you under condemnation, one of my favorite places in Scripture, we're not going to turn there, is Leviticus 5. Leviticus 5 talks about guilt offerings and whole burnt offerings and sin offerings. And God is so gracious that He says to them, you know, if you bring this offering, bring a lamb. But if you can't bring a lamb, bring a couple of doves. But if you can't come up with any doves because you don't have enough money, just bring some pigeons. And if you can't even afford pigeons, just bring some flour. Just a tenth of an omer of flour. And we'll dust that on, and that'll be good enough. Now, what's one of the spiritual principles at? The Lord knows where you're at. He knows what your life is. He knows what you can and can't do. Find your rhythm and just take it up a notch, even if it's just a little bit of flour. If you can take it up a pigeon's worth, then give it a pigeon's worth. If you can give it a dove's worth, give it a dove's worth. If you can give it a lamb's worth, then give it a lamb's worth. But give what you can. So, Bishop, what does that look like? I don't know. A meal a month? Let's just start with a little flour, or turn it off, or 5 extra minutes, or skip lunch once a week, or I don't want to give you, I really don't want to tell you what to do. But I do know this, that the more violent the rhythm is behind the scenes, the stronger the sustained winds are. And the stronger the sustained winds are, the better chance that you're going to experience violent outbreaks of the power of God in your life. Now, do you have to do like somebody else does to have sustained winds high enough? No. Just give God your best. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? And the best you may have to give may be nothing more than just a handful of flour. That means as much to God as somebody giving Him a whole lamb. Because He knows your life. And He's not into condemnation. He doesn't want you to create something you can't sustain. Does everybody hear what I'm saying to you? He doesn't think a lamb's a better offering than a little flour, barley flour. The barley flour was the best they could give. He knows your situation. He knows your circumstances. He knows the stresses and pressures in your life. Just give Him the best you can. And if you give Him a little flour, and yet you find that you meet somebody else who's fasting 4 days a week all the time, that's the best they can give, they won't have any stronger winds on them than you will. It's a love thing.
Amen.
Just give Him the best you have to give. But ask Him to show you what a little bit more, what higher level. Just take your best to whatever level you can afford to give. Just one more notch. Just take your rhythm to a little bit higher level and see if you don't experience sustained winds in your life. See if you don't see a greater outbreak of the power of God and the activity of God in your life. See, the word that I got, that I gave this morning prophetically, and I don't know what it's going to look like when I write it all down, but I got yesterday morning, Saturday morning, and the Lord said, we're in a season of eclipse. That there is in the natural a season called an eclipse season. And you can see it throughout history. And that we're at a place now where the Lord says we're in a season where we're called to eclipse. Eclipse as a noun describes an event like a lunar eclipse or a solar eclipse. Eclipse as a verb describes things being taken to a greater level. Well, I've eclipsed that mark. And both of those are appropriate to what God is saying to us. God is saying to us is that in an eclipse, what happens, as you know, is that the moon gets between the sun and us. And sometimes you can see a little rim every now and then. There's a total eclipse. The Lord, the word of the Lord for us is this: to take your rhythm to a higher level, to a little more violent level, you've got to make a decision that there's something in the world. They'd be bad. Their nets weren't bad things. You with me? Their nets represented their livelihood, their ability to provide for their families. It would have been prepared for. That's what they did. Those weren't bad things. We think about turning your back on the world, we think it's like bad things. It can be good things. It can be fun things. It can be nice things. Not bad things. But you know that if you're going to take your rhythm to a more violent level, if you're going to eclipse, you've got to turn your back on the earth, on the world, a little bit more than you have before. For the sun to be in your face a little bit stronger, the earth has got to be at your back a little bit further. Do you know what I just said to you? If the sun, the S-O-N, is going to be in your face a little bit brighter, the earth is going to have to be behind your back a little bit further. You have to turn a little more. The axis of your life is going to turn just a little. You hear me? That's what God is saying to us. And if you'll do that, you will eclipse anything you've ever hoped or imagined for in the Spirit. God wants us to eclipse the highest level of imagination. He's given each of us an imagination. And the main reason we have an imagination, we use our imagination for all kinds of things. But the primary purpose for our imagination is our imagination about Him. And the Lord says He wants our imagination to be eclipsed. He wants us to know that He wants to eclipse anything you ever imagine it. And this is a season for eclipse. And there'll be multiple, like multiple harvests, there'll be multiple eclipse. I don't know how you say that, plural. I guess that's how you say it. Of the presence, the power, the glory of God in our lives. You with me?
Amen.
Now here's the thing, is that one of the things I like about rhythm is every once in a while in private conversations, we may talk to each other about our particular rhythm. But in the end, ultimately, it's between you and God. You know, I think a lot of times we manipulate people through altar calls and do stuff. I mean, what purpose? You know, sometimes God can touch our lives in a moment and boom. But most of the time, from that place, He sends us off on our own reconnaissance. We can come down and we can go to a conference, we can go to revival, and the Spirit of God will hit us like a wind. Knock us down. Fill us up. But it's so that we'll leave there and say, oh, this is good. I want to live in this place. Not where you're lying on the floor all the time, but where you're living in a higher level, where you know sustained winds. This is not something you dip your beak in every now and then. You're swimming in oil. You don't just go down to somebody else's river and splash around. You have your own river. And you're moving towards not just waist-deep river, but river water to swim in. But that's between you and Him. Because no matter how much we pray for you, no matter how much you pray for me, you know, God comes to us in such powerful ways and blesses us and gives us opportunity through our fellowship with each other, through the church, the body of Christ. But in the end, you don't live here 24 hours a day. And you've got to make a decision, and you've got to ask the Lord. Ask the Lord to show you, Lord, where's my rhythm? And how can I take it up? What's the best I can offer you? He'll show you. He won't tell you something that you can't do. Jesus wants to sprinkle our souls, our life, with a little violence.
Amen.
He wants to sprinkle your walk with a little violence. He wants there to be a little bit of violence in you that says, I'm going to take my rhythm to a more violent level. And give God the best I can, no matter what that looks like. Expecting to live in sustained winds. And then experiencing violent outbreaks of the storm of God's power, which changes everything.
Amen?
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.